Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fun Times Gamecast, episode 23 and a half, now brought to you by Memory Skulls, the Candy Apple Saga, where copyright infringement doesn't mean jack. If you don't understand what that title means, you will later on in the episode. We'll start like normal. Today I have Mocha.
Hello.
And also with us is Borador.
Hey, kitties.
So, to start off a little bit really quickly, the reason why it is episode 23 and a half is last week I was all alone and I did a solo podcast. And unfortunately, it just didn't seem quality content. So, we just kind of skipped a week and here we are.
Basically, he realized it was nothing but him talking to himself for an hour.
It was really boring and monotonous, and it was bad. Luckily, I didn't start answering the questions that I posed myself, so that's a plus one.
Yeah. If that were only true.
All right, so Mocha, go ahead and tell us what you've been gaming.
I haven't been doing much except for playing Farming Simulator 2013 using a new multi-fruit map and having a blast with it.
Very cool. How about you, Bardar?
Fuck, where to go?
And that,
I had,
where to
I
go?
Had something, I had something set up for this and it fucking ran away on me. Where the fuck did it go?
He's talking about his brains, ladies and gentlemen, or what of there.
Are you sure?
I don't even know anymore.
No, you know how you get those weekly gaming summaries from Raptor?
Oh.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the thing. I had mine set up to so they send me out the email on Sunday so I could have it all ready so I could say, hey, I played this and this and that and this and this, and it's fucking gone.
Check your trash can. You probably deleted it on iTunes.
No. I couldn't have. I don't know where it went. The fuck? Oh, wait. Duh. It's in my Raptor stuff page. I have a folder just for Raptor emails.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know it's a true Borador.
According to this, I've done the bulk of my gaming with Farming Simulator with Mocha over here. Got some DayZ in, which, you know, is always fun. Tried out Rust. Enjoying that. I found it really, 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 really friendly and nice PvE server. Got my usual 4 hours of Final Fantasy in for the week. And, that's pretty much about it. Still working my way up to level 50, doing all my, you know, trying to stay on top of my Beastman dailies before patch 2.2, and oh my god, I can't wait for more shit to do.
That's
about it.
Wouldn't more shit to do be actually hitting level 50?
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff they've been adding isn't just, you know, for the level 50 stuff. Like, the next thing they're going to do is they're going to add in two more beast tribes. They're going to add in Leviathan Primal. And more story stuff that you don't have to exactly be at endgame to participate in.
Well, all right then.
You know, they're going to add more. I think this patch, they're adding more turns to the Binding Coil of Bahamut. And the next major patch, they'll add more stuff to CT. And it's just going to be good. It'll be interesting.
Another left and a right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm glad you got that. All right. Anything else you played?
Yeah. I was thinking about kickstarting a game.
Okay, go ahead. Because I will be plugging in a quick start that I plugged in last week and.
Oh no! Oh no! I was talking about starting my own.
Oh, no! You have
called. Well, I just want to name it the Borador Saga.
No.
What?
No.
You'd have to lose. Everybody would have to lose 3/4 of their mind to play your game.
I don't think you got the joke.
I don't know if he knows what's been going on, but yeah. No.
Or maybe Fun Times Candy.
No.
You drive around in a van and you drive around in a van that says Fun Times Gaming on the side.
No. No.
But
you're closer to him, Jack. Smack him.
I definitely should.
And hand out candy to all the hot moms.
I'll go play on the train tracks.
Yeah, seriously. Time to hit the switch. My end of the gaming spectrum include a little bit of the Hearthstone, 2 matches. Starbound, Elder Scrolls. I jumped into Starforge Alpha for like 2 minutes. Been playing Knights of Pen and Paper Plus 1 edition on the phone, which I'm still really enjoying that. But mostly I've been just kind of reading a lot of core rule books and stuff for Pathfinder. So, yeah. It's applicable to nerd culture. So I'll toss it out there. And yeah, that's pretty much it for my end. So on to discussions. We had an email last week, and I actually answered this in the last podcast, but I'm going to have to re-answer it because it hasn't actually been posted. So, I don't have the actual email up right now, so I'll paraphrase it.
Bad Jack.
Oh, please. I did this all last week, I'm sorry. Basically, gentlemen wanted to know... Because we all play PC, what is the number one reason why we play PC and over a console?
Well, I've got a quick answer to that one.
Number one reason.
My number one reason?
Only the number one reason. What is your number one reason?
Choices.
Choices? What do you mean choices?
Choices. Well, just think about the peripherals I can have with my machine. I can have keyboard, mouse. I can have a controller, joystick, driving wheels. So many different manufacturers, different types of headsets, you know. And choice when it comes time for me to, you know, upgrade.
Those are two separate things.
How is that? Huh?
Those are two separate things. Choices is too abstract to be.
I know what it is in my head. I just can't think of the right word because I know that choices isn't the right word.
And peripherals will be one thing. Upgrading would be something totally different. That would be a different reason.
It's come back to me. I gotta get the right words in my head.
Okay.
As I know what I want to say. It's just not coming out right.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the gameplay, what I think he's driving at is the gameplay is totally different. You're allowed more parameters, greater
freedom he's looking for.
Yeah.
Kind of, but not the right word, but you're getting there.
All right. We'll give him a couple minutes. How about you, Mocha?
Bored or brain still no worky from a few weeks ago.
Mm.
When has it ever?
Exactly. So yeah, Mocha, what about you? What's your number one reason for picking the PC over a console?
Just be told, quality.
Okay. I guess you're talking more, are you talking about like the build because you kind of build your own or just,
you wanted one word and that would be the word would be quality.
Okay.
Yes. And
all right. I was just saying, I was asking why you picked quality. Is now that would be the second question.
Well, all right. Why I pick quality? Well, yeah, it's better builds. The dynamics of the games are better. It allows you more freedom in the games. Whereas you're more restricted on the console.
Okay.
Plus, the quality of the video is a lot better than the quality on the video coming off of a console.
Sounds good. My answer sticks the same from last week. Nobody knows what the answer is, though. But
yeah, I was just about to say that.
nobody knows what the answer is, though. But my reason, and it actually happened, well, now it's been like 2 or 3 weeks ago from this point, but the fact that all the games that I want, that I ever want, that I would ever need, that ever come out for the PC are available at any given time right when I need them. I don't have to go to a retailer and say, hey, look, I want XYZ game, and for them to turn around and say, well, we're sold out.
So in other words, game availability would be yours.
Definitely game availability.
I have a comment to make on that.
And I also put down that this works about 99.9% of the time, because there are games like Test Drive Unlimited 2 over the Steam holiday where I did purchase a game and they were kind of technically a little bit sold out of keys and I had to wait for it. So, yeah, there are exceptions.
I do have one comment to what you said, Mister. Mm-hmm. That might not be the case much longer with the shift towards digital.
Mm.
You know, maybe in a year or two, or you know, maybe sometime down the line, you'll be able to get all the Xbox One or PS4 games that come out digitally. Yeah, I said you might be able to.
No.
Never know. No. Somebody, some corporation out there may pick up the ball like Steam did for the computer aspect of it.
It would be nice, yes, but it's not going to happen. Like, it won't happen for a little
GameStop.
Bit. Oh, yeah.
Well, who knows? GameStop may be the one looking at doing it.
You also got to think about this, though. GameStop already has the GameStop store app for the PC. What could stop them from developing an app specifically for the Xbox and the PlayStation 4, where you can buy your Xbox or PlayStation 4 games directly from the app?
Microsoft and PlayStation 4 and Sony?
Yeah.
Why would they want, if they're going all digital, why would they want somebody else to sell their stuff then?
Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Microsoft would be one, but Sony, on the other hand, they may be a little bit.
If you can buy your game through the console at any given point in time, why would you need, if there's no physical copies of it ever again, why would you need another third party to sell the games that you're already selling and that everybody can access?
Well, why is it? How many times have I gone to GameStop to pre-order a PC game?
That's
only
different.
Only to get home, go to install it, and boom, Steam loads up wanting me to activate it.
That's different, though.
And then I never need that disc again.
Yeah, but the reason why you do it,
Borador, I love when that happens.
The reason why you do it, Borador, is because you usually get a collector's edition.
Oh boy, do I.
Yeah, because you usually get the collector's edition and want the hard copy of the disc itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there is no retail version of it, why get it from them? Basically, if there are no physical copies, GameStop would cease to exist as a brick-and-mortar store.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no, then you would have the GameStop PC store, and that's what it would become. It would be like a lesser Steam, if it could survive that way.
Could you imagine walking into a physical Steam store?
That would be amazing, but I don't think it would ever happen.
Well, you also got to think about In a way, GameStop might be able to survive because they'd still be selling systems. They'd still be selling controllers and headsets and now what they're selling freaking iPods and shit to.
Yeah, they're trying to become Best Buy.
Well,
so they're trying to diversify a little bit because they see that there's something kind of change coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if they're smart, they'd start lining up and getting the other companies that make games for, like, the PS4 and the Xbox and start getting licenses for digital downloading from them so that they can be even more versatile.
It's also kind of the reason, like, if you look at something like Blizzard's games, where can you get Blizzard's games from?
Their website.
Or a physical copy.
Well, when I said their website, I meant the Blizzard website.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I was saying yes, or a physical copy. If physical copies are gone, then the only place would be Blizzard's website.
Well, no, you could get, World of Warcraft and stuff through the GameStop app.
You get the little codes and stuff. But I have a feeling it would drastically fall down because then there would... Going into a store is basically advertisement in itself.
Yeah, but you also got to remember, I can't remember if it was last year or over a year ago, something with EA talking about wanting to go all digital for all their games. Remember?
Yeah. Then you see how
that really want to talk talk about EA right now?
You know, that they were just trying to cite, pricing adjustments. That it'd be cheaper to go the all digital route.
Yeah, definitely.
Dun, dun, dun!
Go ahead. Go ahead. Did you figure out anything else from your discussion there? Well, did you finally figure out the word that you were looking for?
No, but I guess maybe you could go with freedom, but it'd be more like freedom of choice, maybe?
All right. We got it. We got what you understood. It's out there, so we're good to go. The next discussion that we have is something a bit controversial. Lately, and it started with Microsoft and Machinima, where there has been leaks and accusations and people defending themselves and everything, this, that, and the third, where a lot of companies have been going to big multi-channeled YouTube, I don't know what the right thing, but multi-channeled YouTube things like Machinima and stuff, where
YouTube
everybody
channels?
Yeah, channels or something, I guess that works. So where it started was it was said that Microsoft was given Machinima X amount of dollars to put the Xbox One into good light. So every time one of the people from that work with Machinima said, like, look, guys, if you say something good about the Xbox One, you don't do something wrong against Machinima and this and that, and you stipulate all these causes and everything like that, we'll give you $3 per view or something like that, or 3 cents, an extra 3 cents, or something like that, up to a certain amount of dollar per video. So, which technically becomes paid advertisement. The biggest problem was that it's not said anywhere on any of these videos that we are getting a kickback for this, so... There, as far as something where somebody could be reviewing Rome and says, oh, Rome is this awesome, amazing game, and in truth, it was something totally different, and the viewers are getting gypped from this, and it's not just Microsoft, it actually a few companies, I don't remember the other ones, have come up and stepped in and said things like this, that, yeah, we do this. It is a common practice, it happens everywhere. But the main thing is that usually it says there's usually an asterisk or a star or a hidden little thing saying it's paid advertisement or something along that lines. With that note, I want to let all of our listeners out there, we are not sponsored. We do not get money from anyone. And if at any time we do, I will tell you if any of our reviews or anything like that we're getting a kickback from it. At this point in time, we have not gotten a single one. And to this point, even so as where I'm going to tell you, I played about 5 minutes of the Might and Magic, the new Might and Magic 10, and it's I hated the fucking shit. Contrary to Bored or Sing over there, I thought it was terrible and it sucked and it was I couldn't do it.
That's because you're not as old as I am. You didn't get that.
There's 2 years. There's a 2 year difference.
Yeah.
But and this is where I get. If I think a game is crap, I will tell you it's crap. So there will, you know, if XYZ company says, hey, review our game, I'm going to say, look, you're going to give me $10 to review your game. All right. Well, then I'm going to give the truth. That's that. I'm going to tell them that it sucks if it sucks. That's how it's going to be. You will not hear anything. We will not be bought out. So with all this stuff going on, I wanted to know what your guys' impressions and stuff are with the whole deal that's going with this, with the unadvertised advertisement, paying for advertisement, and these people who are getting stipulations for repping up a game or console or something and not having to follow typical rules and laws and stuff. Border, we'll start with you this time.
Well, the way I look at it, it's YouTube. YouTube is a whole nother
animal
world in it. No, world in itself. And chances are some of these YouTubers, this is probably their bread and butter. So they're doing what they got, at least in my opinion. You know, if they're doing what they got to do to live, they're doing what they got to do to live. You know, I got nothing against the advertising. It'd just be nice if it was stated that, you know, it's an endorsement or whatever.
It would be nice, or should it? I'm asking
personally. Personally, it doesn't bother me if it's advertised or not, because it's not like it's my money. That's going to, you know, it's not like, you know, like now if there was a thing where, let's say it was a Twitch channel and let's just say I made a donation to somebody's Twitch stream, and if they only received, you know, half of my donation and the other half went somewhere else to somebody else, that I'd want to know about.
See, but that's a different thing.
But since with the YouTubers, I'm not doing it. It's not my money going out. You know what I mean? Doesn't really bother me.
But would you, let's just say they are reviewing game XYZ, and game XYZ in their mind was a piece of crap. It was terrible and horrible. It was the worst abysmal thing they've ever played, but because of the fact that XYZ's company is giving them extra money to do a positive review, they take that terrible, horrible, crappy, idealistic thing in their head and they shove it out and they totally lie to everyone.
Well, see, this is the beautiful thing about YouTube. Pretty much everything you see on YouTube is a video, you know, is audio and video. So said reviewer, whoever, you know, does, you know, a little review about it, whatever, and says, oh, this game's phenomenal. Are you really gonna watch one reviewer? No, I think you would bounce around to different people. Maybe watch a Let's Play of the game and get more input from more people.
Oh, that's the thing. That's the other thing. You know, the reason why it was Machinima. Machinima has quite a few people. And they're around. So a lot of these Let's Plays and views and stuff and everything, I can make a Let's Play and make the worst game into an awesome game with the proper editing.
Yeah, true. But, you know, that's basically what, you know, it's YouTube. You're not deadlocked to well, some of us are. You know, some of us are fanboys of certain YouTubers. But, you know, when a new game comes out, there's always more than one channel and more than one group that's doing a review or a Let's Play or, you know, a preview. I mean, hell, you could even go to other, you know, sources to get more information. You could find, you know, Mr. Joe Schmo down the street.
See, the other thing is a lot of the times, like, people like Machinima and everything like that, and Joystick and IGN and all these people, any big name press conference people do get early copies. So they might be the only official word out right now.
Official don't mean shit, in my opinion. But also, just keep this in mind, okay? This, you know, goes on and whatnot. Let's just say that somebody from Machinima or whoever makes a review about a really shitty game. And then the game comes out, people buy it, and it turns into another Aliens Colonial Marines. Machinima's name is going to take a hit. You see, it's not somebody's
not
gonna
necessarily.
Say,
No.
Sooner or later, something's going to happen, and you know that reviewer, that said reviewer or group or whatever that gave such a rousing review said, "Oh, this game is so great," and da 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 da, and it's completely fucking broken. There'll be some kind of backlash or backfire sooner or later.
All right.
Hold on, stop.
You're done. Mocha, how about you?
Personally, all they're trying to do is damage control. They know something's shitty. They're trying to misrepresent stuff, and that's why I don't follow them. Because look at Microsoft. Constantly does it. All big companies constantly do it. They're looking to do damage control. What are you going to try to do? You're going to try to get people out there to say positive things about something that sucks. Plain and simple. And that's why I don't go to YouTube for that shit. It's as simple as that. If I want something, I'll get it from the horse's mouth or look around on actual tech stuff online and that and see what other players are saying about it. Go by word of mouth. Never by what's on YouTube. And it's going to be the big companies that are going to be doing it too. So, no thank you.
Well, what's to stop big companies from also doing it to, like, what you said, tech sites?
Tech sites?
All forms of media.
Well, see, then you fall under different legislation. With tech sites or text sites. Tech sites are governed a little bit heavier, and you cannot openly mislead like that. Whereas on YouTube, you can have people mislead you all you want. There ain't a damn thing anybody can do about it. But a tech site? Uh-uh. Not allowed.
So, yeah. This is our views, and again, I just want to point out we don't have any bribes. We're not bribed because this is technically kind of a bribe. Do a good thing. We'll rub your back. We do not have bribing. We do not take bribes. I will straight out tell you a game is terrible if I believe a game is terrible. I will tell you everything that I honestly feel. And I also want to put out there that every single one of the things that we say are complete opinions. Everything that we have are our opinions. None of them are laid in fact truth. I may say a game is awesome. Border may say a game is awesome. Narmersil, who's sitting in the background waiting for us to introduce because he's a little asshole who arrived late, may say something is awesome. In fact, it could be the absolute abysmal thing in the world. Everybody has their own tastes, their own likes, and this is what you gotta go with. When and if, and probably not, we ever get a notice from Microsoft or Sony or XYZ company saying, can you review this? If there is a monetary value in, and it has any form of...
That happens, I'm going to slap you across the head.
Exactly.
If you don't send it back to them and say, no, because it's... What we do is...
If it comes up to that, yeah. If it comes up to that, they have to agree to the rules that we're going to do the review the way we want to do the review.
Whether they like it or not. Tough shit.
So, anybody who has an opinion on this, please email us to funtimesgaming@gmail.com. Anybody
Random Jack.
Yeah. Write to me. Random Jack, okay? Any companies who want the complete unabridged review of your game with or without any monetary stipulation, you can also email us at funtimesgaming@gmail.com. That's what is
any, the... any ladies wanting me to render services?
Say no, address, no, go away. But you could also email... No, I'm kidding. Hi, Narm!
Hi, guys!
Asshole. On to news.
I think I'm just going to go through the whole episode pretending he's still not here.
I'm sorry, I was otherwise occupied.
I don't care about your occupations.
Something was occupied, that's for sure.
It definitely wasn't her attention span.
Oh! Anyways, news...
Bada boom.
Before this train runs off the tracks.
I think it already did.
You want a train wreck?
I don't want a train wreck. Shut up, I'll mute you.
Oh, Borador, your mom says hi.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. She told me she was going over after work, bro.
Train wreck!
She made me waffles.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. Were they the chocolate chip waffles?
No, they were blue waffles.
Okay, and forward we go.
Are we satisfied, kids? All right.
Choo-choo, motherfucker.
Derails are coming.
So the first bit of news here. There is a random PS4 error that is causing corruption of files. There's a fix being worked on.
Save files?
Yeah. All files. Every files. All files. Blowing up your PS4s. Yeah, big time. Bad. In the past
That's
weeks...
Not good. Is there any more information on it?
Yeah. Search up on Google, PS4 corrupting files. It was a very vague thing. It wasn't terrible. You just kind of have to be careful with your anything that you do on your PlayStation 4 until the fix comes out, which by now should be out.
Microsoft was experiencing something similar.
I didn't read anything or see anything or hear anything.
I could be wrong. I thought I heard it in the news or something, because some problem Microsoft was having with their Xbox One.
Oh, no, it's a blue screen of death.
Yeah, that's, yep.
Is that what it is?
Oh, it looks like
for
a blue
the PS4.
Screen of death. That's awesome. It's blue screen with white text.
Yep. That's basically, it's memory corruption. Causes blue screen of death. Next segment, Nintendo has been having some financial woes. And a lot of people are wondering what they're going to do. Their Wii U console obviously isn't doing anywhere where they want it to be. But
handhelds are phenomenal.
Exactly. Their handhelds, again, this year for like the 1500th year, has come up top selling system for the year, beating out all basic consoles as well. It's absolutely amazing. So they are making money. And you got to realize, Nintendo has been around for a bajillion years. Nintendo is older than I am. And they've gone everywhere from starting out as a playing card company to having love hotels to video games. They were not always a video game company. So it's not like they're going anywhere. They are not stopping the making of consoles. They will be making middle phone type mini games. Oh, that's a spoiler for next week. Alienware's Steambox started out by getting hit in the head a bit. They will not be allowing for upgrades, but they will be making a new Steambox each year. They have since said that upgrades are possible, but they're going to be quite hard, quite difficult. So we'll see about that one.
Basically, they're going to make it so hard that it'd just be easier for you to get into their package plan that they're going to be offering to upgrade your system every year with a new one. Or I bet you that's what they're leaning toward.
Just to buy the new one each year. That's what.
Yeah, it's.
I think it's a marketing ploy.
You think it's? Yeah, of course it's a marketing ploy.
Well, the reason why I think that is because every year they'll be able to throw out ads or commercials or whatever saying, oh, it's the 2015 Alienware Steambox. Oh, it's the 2016, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's a possibility.
I mean, if it was me, that's what I would do if I was doing something like this. Think about it. They can have a Steambox launch every year because it's a new – it'll be a new Steambox that they're making every year, new specs, higher –
You're going to shell out $600 every year to get a new Steambox.
Nope. Well, no, you wouldn't think about it. You wouldn't have to. The math, I've been doing my work on this because some of you guys know my history with Alienware.
You know math?
Yes, I know math. If you upgrade your Alienware Steambox every 2 years, okay, you're roughly spending $21 a month in PC gaming if you could, lease the Steambox.
That's basically what it's going to be coming down to. You're not buying the Steambox from them. You're leasing it from them, allowing you to upgrade every year or every 2 years or however long, how many years in between.
The reason why I said the 2 year mark is, you know, when's generally a good time to upgrade a component on your PC?
Now let me ask you a question. All right, you're all high and mighty about Alienware. Stop and listen for a second. What happens if you have a problem with your Steam console from Alienware that you need to have it fixed? Where do you have to go to get it fixed? You have to send it back to them to get it fixed. And how long does that take? Anybody have any ideas?
What happens when your console breaks and it's still under warranty? You take it back to the store, right?
You take it back to the store and you get it repaired or replaced, yes. Right then and there.
Not necessarily.
If it's under warranty, yes, they have to replace it.
If it's under warranty, you have to call them up. It takes about 7 to 10 days for the box to get there. About another 3 to 4 weeks for you to ship it out and them to look at it.
This is if you buy it online, but if
you buy it... No, it's
not.
No, it's not.
That's the Microsoft and Sony warranties. That's what I'm talking about.
Here we go. Here,
I will... You're talking about the MRMA department now, right?
I will talk... I can clarify the whole thing because, again, the gaming retail, I have to know all this stuff because I get asked it constantly. Most stores will have their own protection plans, some kind of thing that you can opt into with extra money to, if something happens to it, you can go through them instead of the company to get a replacement. Now, Generalistic, just buying the system and taking it home, no extra money or anything like that, you normally get a 1-year device defect warranty. What that will happen is you have to contact the company, i.e. if it's an Xbox, Microsoft, if it's a Nintendo, if it's Sony, or if it's PlayStation, Sony.
However,
you have to call them. It takes about 8 to 10 days for them to ship you a box, which you have to pay for shipping. You ship it to them, and then it takes about a month for them to go through it, and then they give you, they call you or email you back saying, this is what's wrong. Either this is how much it's going to cost, this is what's going to happen, you're going to get a new one, and then it takes another 3 to 4 weeks for you to get whatever back, whether it's your original copy console that's still broken or whatnot.
Okay, I just went through returns with all within about the last year and a half. You're wrong. Didn't take that long.
And you got
number one. Number one, all right. My 6 RAM for one, all right.
Hey, wait, Mocha, before you go on, calm down really quick.
Go ahead.
Are you talking about a console? Or are you talking about Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo?
We're talking Steam consoles here.
Okay, but what Borador was talking about was Sony, and that's what you were interjecting. I'm not going into...
No, Alienware is not Sony.
I know, but we're talking about a console now. Hey everybody, it's Random Jack. I just wanted to, during the editing process, I seen that this part was got a little bit of wonky from here on out. So basically, I'm just going to reiterate and clarify what was being pointed on here. We were comparing that the Alienware Steam Box would be falling under the same exact possibility of a return policy like a console would, because you'd have to ship it back. Whereas Mocha was saying that his RAM sticks, a single computer part, was totally different. So where I said, hey, look, this is the return policies on the consoles, my point was that you might follow the guidelines whatever was going on with the consoles, which does take quite a bit of time sometimes. It's not always the case, but it could possibly be. So I just want to interject here, let you guys know this is where the confusion lays, so now you understand what was going on. And I'll let you get back to the episode and our continual ranting and raving until we actually make some sense again. Thank you.
Alienware's not... No, I was talking all this time. I've been talking about Alienware and Steambox.
Yes.
Where did you come in with the console?
Steam boxes are consoles. They will be consoles.
Steam boxes are considered consoles.
They are computerized consoles. You buy a Steam box, you're going to be buying these Steam boxes from these companies. iBuyPower, Falcon Northwest, Alienware, wherever. They will have warranties on them. People that are going to be buying these things are not like us. They're not PCers. They're not, if something breaks on that console, they're not going to take it apart to try and fix it. They're going to use their 1-year, 2-year warranty, whatever, that they're getting through the website send it back, get it fixed.
Or, because they are a computer, they can take it to a PC computer repair shop.
Which avoid the warranty.
A lot of people do.
And which will avoid a lot the of times. Which is going to void their warranty
unless
going to charge them an outrageous amount of money considering the small form factor to the system. And then with Alienware, with my old Alienware, I had a water cooling system. When the water pump blew, okay, for the water cooling system, the choices I had was either send it back to Alienware for them to replace it with their custom part, or completely rip out the water cooling system and put in a completely different one, because there was no fixing the existing one in the system without sending it back to Alienware. That's what they're going to do, is the shit that's going to be in their Steam box is going to be custom made for that box.
Just like the Xbox One, Microsoft.
Sony's PSP or Vita's.
Yeah.
Their memory cards and stuff. Yeah.
By the way, the PS4 does have authorized tech dealers outside.
Oh, no, I'm not saying they don't. I'm definitely not saying there's Dell authorized. I'm just saying a lot of places, like if you went to Geek Squad, a lot of the times your warranty is void if Geek Squad does something that they don't sell.
Basically what I'm trying to say, kids, is I don't think that anybody that's going to be buying a Steam box, whether it's an Alienware, an iBuyPower, a Falcon Northwest, I don't think they're going to be the type of people like us. They're going to be the type of people that have always wanted to get into the PC space, but were too afraid or intimidated by the machine itself, the whole building it, upgrading it, maintaining it. These are people that are going to buy Steam boxes, and every year or two, just throw it out, get a new one. That's my opinion.
I see some of them being smart and just doing the upgrade if it's cheaper.
Hi, yeah, Norm.
Hi, guys.
You know, that's if they could figure it out and learn how to upgrade everything.
You want to interject, Norm? You've been here for a whole 2 minutes and haven't said a word.
It's the same as what Microsoft does with their Xbox consoles.
I didn't see him coming.
There's a problem. You cash it in with the warranty. You ship it out to them. They send you back a completely different console, technically. It's not even your box, but basically it's just a refurb unit.
Pretty much. I don't know. Maybe it might be a little different because with a Steam box, though, it'll have all your information and stuff on it. It's basically a computer, so you'll have all your games and shit. Unlike...
All that information is stored in the hard drive.
Or Steam Cloud.
That's true.
Easiest way to find out would be if your case had, like, let's say, I don't know, a sticker on it.
Bordar, this is your task. When the Alienware Steam Box come out, you have to buy one. You got to take it and you got to break it. And then you got to test their return policy and see what happens. All right.
Hold on a minute. You just said I'm tasked with buying the Alienware Steam Box?
Yeah.
Did you just say that? Okay, ladies, I'll be taking donations, $10.
What Jack didn't tell you was he was buying it for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, so that's done. I had the opportunity to watch 10 minutes of the Titanfall Alpha. And
that was on Twitch?
I don't know. It was actually pre-recorded, and I was able to watch it. Like everybody can watch it if I knew where it was again. But I have to say, man, I was sitting there like, wow.
Are you liking the 6v6 format?
The map was kind of small. Not small.
Call of Duty-esque map.
I want to say a little bit bigger because you got to realize there are mechs, so they have to be a little bit bigger. The maneuverability was nice. The ability to jet, I seen like jetpacking and the whole sideways wall running. Titanfall.
Oh, okay.
But there were points where I'm just watching this video and I'm like, my heart was jumping out of my chest. Like, oh my God, he's the one part, there's like two giant mechs fighting to the left of him about 10, 20 feet away, if that.
Tell me he jumped on one and trolled the shit out of it.
Well, he's done that a few times, but like he's cutting in, and obviously these two are mechs are against each other, and he cuts in just around him, underneath this it's got a little roof, but it's still outdoors. Like if I waved my hand out, I'd get hit by a car. And he's just running through this thing, and I'm just sitting there. He's gonna get stepped on. He's gonna get stepped on. He's gonna blow up any second. And no, nothing. But I'm just sitting there like, these things are just right next to him. The scale size of everything was amazing. Hopping in and out was a little bit eh, but it overall was cool watching it. It had its occasional reconnecting to server lag. But then again, it is an alpha, so, and, keep an eye out because there was an announcement about 2 hours ago, something about, beta coming soon, maybe next month. So keep an eye out for that as well. So again, even though EA is publishing it, this 10-minute video kind of bumped it back up for me. We'll keep an eye on it. So, Hearthstone is now in open beta for everybody who is interested in that. Anybody who's there, it's probably a good time to go and do some ranked battles because there is a bunch of idiots on there who don't know jack about the game. So if you decide to play a little bit of card games, there's that for you. The next bit, Blizzard Arcade, which is something to do with StarCraft 2. They allow you to do little extra games and stuff like that on the StarCraft 2 engine, build your own kind of fun things. That is now free to play for all as well. Hey, Narm, you made it in time for something.
Yeah.
Our favorite thing.
Greenlit games?
That it is.
Yay!
So we've got another 50 greenlit games.
I'll do the drum roll.
You can hold that drum roll just for a second because it's going to take me about... I got to ready my mic up correctly and I got to get a swig of water and stuff like that so I can go. All right, whenever you're ready, go ahead, drum roll. And starting at top, we got One Heart, 4 p.m., Aces Wild, Manic Brawl Action, Arc, Between Me and the Night, Black Story, Burning Cars, Collateral Damage, Chronology, Crustophobia, The Downward Struggle, Dawn of the Ronin, Dreadbird, Dethrone, Dungeon 4, Dynamic Auto Painter X64, Edge of Eternity, Frozen State, GTGD S1, Heldrick, The Legend of the Shoemaker, Helicopter Simulator, Search and Rescue, Natural Disasters, Hero Siege, Hunting Anubis, I Want to Be Human Alpha, Infectionator Survivors, Influent, Insula, Inverto, Light Cam 100 FPS Game Capture, Long Night, Love, Mind Text, Morphbox, Voice Changer, New Orbit, No Photos Please, Painter's Guild, Path to Sky, Promise, Quest of Dungeons, Rain World, Reaper, The Tale of Pale Swordsman, Rhyme Risa, Skyra, The Blades Remain, Space Engines, Storm United MMO FPS, The Gallery, Six Elements, Time Rifters, Voice of Parat 3D, Wake Up Call, World End Economica, Episode 0.01, Zoom Player. And that is the 50 of them. All right, so our next bit of news here is along the lines of a golf game. The Golf Club... That's the title, and I don't know if it's like the golf club as in the club of golfs or the actual like a clubhouse for golf. So I don't know which one that actually is, but It is called The Golf Club, and it is a golfing game that procedurally generates its courses. So, see you later, Tiger Woods. It is coming out for the PC, the PS4, and the X-Bone.
So no more learning courses?
Nope, no more learning courses. It's all procedurally generated courses, which is something that I was like, I wonder why they don't have this and why they only use the same exact freaking courses everywhere.
Well, I don't play golfing games, but don't they normally model the courses after real courses?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, why not put like a random generation kind of thing in there for so you don't have to sit there and learn the same exact hole over and over again. You know, throw a little sand trap where a water hazard was at one point. I don't know. A little bit of controversial news coming up. We have Candy Crush and the makers, King.com, and whoever else that they're in with over their heads or whatever is going on. Basically what had happened, first of all, Candy Crush is actually called Candy Crush Saga, along with all their other games, Papa Pear Saga and stuff like that, and anything else they own usually ends with a saga. Basically, they kind of copyrighted Candy and Saga, and there's a game called The Banner Saga that came out.
Wait a minute. The copyrights went through? Because as far as I was aware, their copyright for Saga was never approved, and they're still waiting. They're still pending a yes or a no for the word Candy.
Candy is, as far as I read recently, I believe Candy is, as far as Saga goes, I'm not sure. Basically, it comes down to the fact that they're saying they have copyrights over it and stuff like that, and that they want the Banner Saga to change it. Now, the biggest thing that what's going to happen is that King.com is going to have to say, hey, look, this is what Saga means to us. And the Banner Saga, whoever makes them, is going to say, this is how we're using Saga. And if it's used in the same way or something like that, that's when there's a problem. Now, from what I get, I don't think there's a real problem. I think the Banner Saga will be called the Banner Saga and will stay the Banner Saga. I think King is just trying to throw its weight around and cause some problems.
I agree. I think King is just trying to be a big bunch of freaking bullies.
Now, copywriting Candy, on the other hand, is a little bit, you know, what the hell's wrong with you guys, you know?
Does that mean they're going to have to change the name of Candyland to, like, Sweetland?
No. Copywriting Candy means that they copyrighted the word Candy for any video game entertainment.
Game usage.
Yeah. It's only... Whereas if I copyrighted Candy by a TV show, you can copyright Candy for a movie, and you can copyright something else for that. I don't know the whole deal with – I don't know why the War Z and the War Z video game and the movie or whatever got into spats with each other, but that's totally different. But this is what I get from what I've read. I don't like law stuff. But in retaliation, an indie game gentleman said, we're going to do Candy Jam, and we're going to stick it to the man, and we're going to make as many games that has to do with candy as possible, or sagas. The reason why our apt title for the episode, Memory Scrolls, the Candy Apple Saga, because memory is copyrighted, scroll is copyrighted, i.e. Bethesda and scrolls from Minecraft, Candy being King, Apple being Apple Computers, and Saga being Saga with King again. So I used every single possible word that has been in copyright law in the recent. So that's
well,
where
I'm
go ahead.
Well, I'm worried about is Stoic is a very small dev, you know, very
yes.
small indie developer. And with King.com you know, bringing this on them, you know, charges, whatever. It's the legal
there is
term,
no
litigation, whatever. Is if they have to go to court to defend themselves to keep their name, because I know they're not going to want to change the name of their game, because their game is pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
The Banner Saga is really good. And if they have to, you know, go to court to defend themselves, it could bankrupt them.
As far as I know, the court fees are going to be handled by the sewer. Thus, King's going to have to wind up forking that all out unless – I don't know how.
I'm sure Stoic would at least have to pay their legal team.
Oh, yeah, their legal team. But the biggest thing – and I already kind of see that at least in my eyes, and I don't have the eyes of the law, the judgment system or the jury or the justice system or anything like that.
Executioner.
Yeah. But in my eyes, what's basically going to happen is that King.com is going to have to say, and I said this already, they're going to have to say, they're not suing. They're saying you have to change your name because we kind of copyrighted Saga. And they're saying they have to say, okay, this is our termage for Saga. This is what we copyrighted Saga for. And they have to prove that the Banner Saga is using the Saga in the same way. Now, I've seen and everything from what I get. Saga, what I'm looking at is the Saga meaning in the Kings.com's game is that they are a level after level after level after level after level after level after level. So it's a saga. Whereas in the Banner Saga, it's an epic journey going from point A to point B to point C. So that's the saga, which in that case, to me, is totally different. Therefore, the claim would be null and void. In my court of Jack, that would be thrown out.
You see, what I'm reading here is that King is trying to block Stoic from trademarking the Banner Saga.
That's true. Yeah, they're trying to, yes. Yeah. That's more accurate. They are trying to block the trademark, not the usage. But then again, it'll fall under the way, you know, each uses the word saga.
Well, the other thing is with King trying to do this with the word candy, you know, any game on the iOS or Android store with the word candy has been taken down, has it not?
Well, that's the thing. What it comes down to is because they own Candy and Saga, because they put this thing against Stoic in their game, if they don't go after every other game out there that has the word Candy or Saga in it, it's going to look bad on King saying that they targeted only this one game because it's doing awesome. And not everything else. Which it already looks bad because there's been games I can open up, I can take my phone out, go to Google Play and type in Candy and Saga or Candy or Saga, and I'd get billions and billions of them. So they got a lot of work to do, and if they don't do it, it's just going to look bad for them. So that's the reason why everything's starting to slowly go down, and that's the reason why Candy Jam has been made. Any other thoughts or comments on that one from the other two?
Nope.
Okay. What's up?
They're just basically being big trolls.
Yeah. As again, they're just throwing their weight around.
Do you feel that it's, you know, that this is negative publicity for King?
There is no such thing as negative publicity, but as far as it comes, I can honestly say that I used to play the Papa Pear Saga and I deleted it from my phone.
Well, I've never played Candy Crush, or as far as I know, because I don't really, you know, phone game. As far as I know, I've never played any games from King. And when I first heard about this, first thing that came to my mind is, oh man, what jerks. I'm not going to play this fucking Candy Crush game.
See, the thing was, I played Candy Crush. I didn't. I didn't get addicted to it, but I enjoyed picking up Papa Parasaga every now and then because it's a game like Peggle, and I really enjoy Peggle.
Wasn't Candy Crush Saga like Bejeweled?
Yeah, but I'm not good at those games, so I never got into it. But I like Peggle, so that's why I naturally went to Papa Parasaga. But as I said, I uninstalled it, and I will not play it because of that. But that's me, one out of how many million? How many million people say, oh, Candy Crush, seen it on the TV, seen the newscaster playing it and stuff like that, or this, and everybody's, and now they're getting more and more people to play it, and because it is an addictive game, you know, now they have how many more people playing the game? Just because it was in the news for even the wrong thing? So, that's how that is. Now we're going to go on to some SOE type news, and we're going to start it off with a little bit of upsetting and sad news, but SOE is closing four of their MMOs, Vanguard, Clone Wars, Free Realms, and Wizardry. Bardor, you have the dates on when those are closing?
Yes, unfortunately I do. Vanguard will be shutting down July 31st, 2014. Free Realms will be shutting down on March 31st, 2014. Wizardry Online will be shutting down again on July 31st, 2014. And Clone Wars Adventures will be shutting down on March 31st, 2014. So you've got Vanguard and Wizardry, July 31st, and then Free Realms and Clone Wars in March 31st.
Sad. I know. Vanguard, I played for a little bit. Free Realms was all right. It's kind of kiddie, but it was a nice time waster. Clone Wars was a decent Star Wars kind of fun kid game. Wizardry was kind of I wonder why, but I guess the whole super hardcore punishment thing didn't go too well. That is a relatively new game too.
Yeah, that's what surprises me, and I actually I liked the hardcore aspect to it, and from what I read on the closing forum posts, the forum posts itself is, with heavy hearts, we announced the sunset of whichever game. It's the same post on all four forums. And it's basically, the post is basically saying the same thing, that, they're spending too much resources to run these games and not enough people logging in.
Mm-hmm. I played the Wizardry, and I thought it was all right. I just didn't like the fact that if I was in a tower or dungeon or something, and there was another group, that they can just PvP me on site, and then my character's lost forever. That if it was PvE with the punishment, I'd like it a little bit more. Not just straight up PvP also. That kind of got me. I was just like, eh. Not so much.
But you know what?
What?
How many games in the last couple years has SOE had to close?
Not many. Including the fact that they're celebrating a 15-year anniversary for one of their biggest MMOs, if not the most influential MMO in history of MMOs.
Star Wars Galaxies?
Wow. Don't feed the trolls, ladies and gentlemen.
I think you need to put a hairnet on so you can catch the shit flying over it.
Yeah. No, he did that on purpose.
I know.
I miss Star Wars Galaxies.
But, so do I.
Yeah, EverQuest 1 is celebrating 15 years this year. EverQuest 2 is celebrating their 10th year? No, 5th year?
Yeah. I think
10th year.
2004, bud.
Yeah, 10th year. Mm-hmm. And it's year zero for EQ Next and Landmark. So, I mean, it's that they aptly name it the year of EverQuest. So, it's kind of cool seeing I'm actually with our next bit of news here. I might be doing this in a bit, thinking about it. But we don't have all bad news. We do have a little bit of lightning news. One bit of news that Mr. Bordor is very excited about. Planetside 1 will be going free to play.
Oh, God, because PS1 is a phenomenal freaking game.
In April.
Well, yeah, but I find it nice that, well, not nice. They're closing these games, but now they're opening up another one. That, you know, as far as I was aware, weren't able to play.
What happened? You weren't able to play it or something? Is that what you said?
As far as I was aware, if you didn't already have a Planetside 1 game account, you couldn't get a hold of it.
Oh.
Well, you couldn't make a new account to play the game. Like, if you wanted to play the game, you couldn't do it. And as far as I was aware, it wasn't even on the SOE All Access Pass either.
I don't know. But basically, this is what it kind of says. The Planetside 1, this is a quote straight from the SOE facts, is Planetside 1 has no marketplace and will see no further game development. So it is as is. You will be playing the game forever as is, free to play, and no microtransactions. It is what it is. It's literally a complete free-to-play online game. Grant you, it's from 2003 and looks really 2003-ish. Yes, 2003 had a very distinct look. But it's free as it was. And we'll be going to free-to-play in April.
Go ahead. If you don't mind me asking, we all know that you, with your interest in Landmark and Next, okay, will you be dropping that $15 a month for the All Access Pass?
And I'm going to skip your thing there and your question, and it will be edited out because I did not even mention the whole updated thing, so they don't even know that it's added in there yet.
Well, I thought it would have been just common knowledge.
The All Access Pass
does include all Sony games. Like, I was assuming when they announced, you know, EverQuest and EverQuest Next and Landmark that they'd be put in the All Access Pass.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, that's just my brain.
Remember, I didn't even know that. I didn't know that there was an All Access Pass. Like, I do and I don't, and then I do and I don't. It's one of those things that, like, come and go. So you can ask me the question after we're done with this segment. Okay.
Sort of like your brain.
Yeah. So, SOE has also announced they are revising their All Access Pass on or about April 2nd. You could pay the monthly payment of $14.99, and you will have top tier membership in every SOE game all at once. And now this includes EverQuest, EverQuest 2, DC Universe Online, Planetside 2, and EverQuest Next and Landmark. When they come out, that is. Anybody who has a single game subscription will automatically be converted into an All Access Pass, because I think every single one of these MMOs are free to play, right?
And they all do have the subscription option.
Yeah. So I think they're only, it's like, now you have to do All Access Pass or bust, which in a way isn't bad. I mean, maybe for somebody who wants to play just DC Online, I don't know how much they charge a month on there, but maybe
15.
How about EverQuest? Is that 10?
15.
The EverQuest by itself is 10?
They're all 15.
15. Wow. Okay. I thought EverQuest was 10. Okay. All right. Well, then there's no downside. I was going to say that if one of those were cheaper than for a monthly, then the 15, well, now you're getting everything for the same price. So no lose there. And that's kind of cool.
The way you just said that, and from what it looks like in the article, that they're doing away with separate subscriptions for all those games and just
doing, ones. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Sounds like they're just trying to make it easier for their accounting department.
That, and, you know, it, in the long run, it works for me because, as I said, I picked up EverQuest 2 again. I play it every now and then. I don't play it big time.
Yeah, but does that mean that's going to include all future games then?
Right now, as it is, it includes the games that basically it's everything that's out now, and EverQuest Next, Landmark, and EverQuest Next.
Yeah, but you that's still it. Didn't answer my question. Does that I said, include? As
it does not include. It only includes the games that are out. What I said was it only includes the games that are out now, and EverQuest Next and EverQuest Next Landmark. Those are the only games that it includes. Will it include?
Chances are it will include other games when they come out. That's just how they've always worked.
They've also announced, and I read it on a different article, and it just popped in my head because I forgot about it. They're still working on Dragon's Prophet because I don't think Dragon's Prophet has any kind of like subscription type thing. So they're going to try and work that in there too.
Yeah, that's right. Dragon's Prophet's not on the All Access Pass.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they are working on Dragon's Prophet as well to put that in the All Access Pass too.
If that article is correct with the $15 a month for the All Access Pass, they're lowering the price because I'm looking here right now.
It's like 20 something, right?
Yeah, $20, $19.99 for the All Access Pass, and then $15 for just the standard one game pass.
Mm-hmm. So there's your bit of a benefit there. I probably will be getting the All Access.
Why?
Because I'll be subscribing to EQ Next when it comes out. If the subscription benefits are worth it. If not, then I'll just. Yeah. If it's not worth getting it, if it doesn't give me, like, something worth it, then I probably won't. But if it is, then I will be getting it because I would subscribe to EQ Next anyways. Again, that's if I liked Landmark and if I like the way it plays. And so far, everything that I've seen, it's probably my most anticipated game for the year, just like I said a couple weeks ago on the most anticipated game segment. So, we'll just have to kind of roll with it and see. And speaking of Landmark, EQ, and speaking, wow, voice crack. And speaking of EQ Next Landmark, we have a bit of the alpha build spec requirements for the PC, because it's only for the PC, your minimum spec requirements for the Landmark, and as I said, I'm guessing it's just the alpha. It may change afterwards for the actual game, but minimum, you need a Windows 7 64-bit, Intel i5 Cooled Door or higher, dual-core or higher, or an AMD Phenom X3 or higher, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 20 gigabytes free of hard drive space, any video card that has a 1,024 megabytes of RAM, which is roughly 1 gigabyte, give or take. That's your video memory. Your video card needs to be a GTX 750 or higher. Your AMD has to be at 4890 or higher. DirectX capable. And it is the first time that actually I've seen you need an actual like speed limit on your internet, but you need 10 megabits per second or higher. I'm hoping that's kind of like a... what's it called? An alpha build, so they can keep the reliability up. Recommended specs again are Windows 7 64-bit, i5 quad core or higher, or a Phenom 2 X6 or higher, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 20 gigabytes of hard drive space, 1 gig of memory video RAM, GTX 560 or higher, a 6870 or higher for AMD HD.
Wait. Hmm? Didn't you just say before a GTX 750?
No, no, no. It was a 275 was the minimum. The recommended is a 560.
Okay.
Yeah. And the broadband is still at 10 megabits per second. Again, I have no idea why that would be. That's the first time I've ever seen an online game, MMO, or anything saying you need this speed or higher.
Well, these are, you said these are alpha build specs.
I believe they're the alpha build. Yes, it is for the alpha build.
So then that those specs will change as the game gets closer to launch. Maybe that bandwidth deal is, like you said, just for stability.
Just to test it. That's what I hope it is. Or maybe
they'll be trying to access information from you as you're playing.
I wouldn't doubt it.
They'll need, and you know, they're just doing that so they can get that information from you without causing you too much grief.
And just to point out for the Trailblazers, as of this posting tomorrow, because today's Monday, tomorrow will be the 28th, we have at most a month for any Trailblazers before the Alpha, the Trailblazer Alpha, Early Access Alpha starts for that, because that is guaranteed by February 28th. Looking forward to it. So who's played an NES? Old school NES. Oh,
who hasn't played a NES?
My brother.
I meant the bus.
Well, there's a game out there that only has 116 copies were ever made. And somebody took one of those 160 copies and put it up on eBay. And
question.
Yeah.
160 or
16. Okay. Either way, after how many years ago that the game was out and everything, that it's in working condition and stuff. I seen the picture of it. It basically somebody ripped off the sticker, so it looks like that, you know how you get that nice little like white sticker residue that's left on the box? Well, that's left on the cartridge, and the word Mario is written in pen.
Yeah, that's funny.
But you can actually see that it is the game still, because it wasn't ripped off completely, so it was the actual game. I am talking about Nintendo World Championship. And I don't know how. The last time I looked, it was sold, and it was sold for a total of $99,902.
Huh?
Yeah, $99,902. I hope. I absolutely hope somebody scammed. Like, I hope this is a scam and somebody didn't pay $99,000 for a crappy, ripped-up, old NES game.
Well, how much did that cart go for? What it was, 2011?
Not even close to what it went for.
But
this
it's like what, a 1100, right?
It was a couple thousand. I think it was like 11,000. It was over 10,000, I think. I don't quote me on it. I had
the article up and I had just closed it.
Mm-hmm. I read the article when it came out. And it was somewhere about in the 5,000 range. And then when I typed this up, I looked at it, and it was sold, and it said $99,902. God, I wish I had that much money.
We all would.
Yeah. And I looked at the... Like, because you can click on it and see what the postings were, who bid on what before this and everything like that. And it was constant. It went up 98,000, 98 something, 98, 99, 99, 99. And it went up there, and it was a constant flow. So I don't know if somebody just trolled the hell out of him, or this guy is one lucky SOB making $99,902.
You never know. It could have been two or three freaking collectors going at it, just wanting the cart.
Yeah, it's a possibility. But yeah, one of the rarest games in the world. Definitely for the NES, though. Something kind of cool. Steam is allowing the cancellation of pre-orders without any stupid calling them and saying, I don't want the pre-order anymore and waiting and stuff like that. I believe when you pre-order the game, now when you go to the website page, you can kind of just like say, or through your account management or something like that, you can just basically, I don't want it anymore, and that's that. No calling anybody, no nothing. It's just canceled. So, there you go.
It's about goddamn time.
And my favorite bit of the news for today, because I've been waiting for this a while, because now I can pick the game up, and I've actually already have picked up the game since then. But, the Furious Koala update for Starbound is now out, and the biggest thing about this is the fact that there are almost 99% chance of not having any more character slash spaceship wipes, which is a wonderful thing. There are a bunch of code changes, which I don't care about. Now, we'll skip right down into the fun changes. The holidays are over, so they are removing all the holiday stuff for now. They will put them back in when they have a better way of enabling it for the holiday times, which I'm a little bit sad because I had the full Mrs. Claus outfit, and I liked the way it looked, and I would have. And they wiped the character for this update, so I don't have that at all anymore. PvP is now forced enabled within Sector X. If you are in a party, though, there is no team damage. All player drops are persistent now. So if you accidentally throw your diamond drill down a mineshaft, you don't have to suicide trying to get it back before it disappears. New monster attacks, gravity slam, gust attack, and stuff like that. Gravity slam is kind of cool. It caught me off guard a few times. I was like, what?
The other thing I wanted to mention was my new starting planet. It feels like the gravity's lower. I jump higher and land slower.
They fixed legendary weapon damage to make it more legendary-ish. There are more techs, and one such thing is like the glitch mech. There is a new biome called Savannah, that would be the proper way of saying that.
Wasn't Savannah already there?
Nope.
Or, no, it was Grasslands.
Or it's enabled. I don't know. It's in there now. There's boss lore now.
Lore whore like me happy.
No more eating bandages and stims. They have their own thing now.
That really bothered me, the eating animation for the bandages. It's kind of like in DayZ when you go to pop a pill and he's wrapping it on his arm.
Better, more featureful .abc file support. And we now have Wonderlust music in the game now.
Have either of you guys found any of those instruments?
No.
Arm?
What?
I said, have either of you guys found any of the instruments in the game?
No. Yes, wait, I found a guitar.
Ah, cool, because I had a harp.
Let's continue on. The NPC chatter is more configurable and slightly more varied. Added new objects such as a lava biome treasure chest. Added new items. That's an object. Added new items like nightsticks and bone saws. Sword swooshes are only active for 0.6 seconds instead of 0.9 seconds. Cooldown times actually matter without slowing down combat. Also fine-tuned their hitboxes. Viking helmet. Apparently there's a Viking helmet. Watch out for landmines. I'm reading right off the page, so the actual changelog page, so it actually says, watch out for landmarks. Landmines. Various changes to treasure drop pool. Avian guards actually dropping their guns. Medieval furnaces now actually act like a furnace. Graphical updates to some existing plants and new plants. And lots more secret stuff.
I wonder what the secret stuff is.
I would love to know what the secret stuff. All I know is I got a shield, and it's a kind of cool shield, and it doesn't have any description, so I'm a little sad face about that. But cool nonetheless. And anybody else have anything else to say or add in?
Yeah, I like how now when it rains, I get a swimming pool on my balcony. I seen what had happened. Like, it's raining, and I haven't seen it rain like this in the game before. It looks like it's like hurricane style rain. Like the rain is coming sideways, and when it hits the roof of the shelter I built at a specific angle, it turns it into a water drop, and the water drop just flows into my balcony and starts filling up. And I've
noticed
our
swimming pool.
And it's doing the same thing all over that map, actually. Any little holes in the ground are slowly filling up with water.
That's cool.
It makes me wonder, is it like, you know, that planet is doomed?
Maybe.
Because it's almost always raining.
Maybe. Will all the holes fill up, and eventually will it just, like, completely engulf the world in water? Or does it actually, like, drain away somewhere?
Well, that's the thing, is the first day on that planet, I explored a little bit away from my camp, and everything was cool, and I seen some little holes in the ground that were just holes in the ground.
And now they're water-filled
holes. And then I found some materials, like some coal, and I dug out the coal, and there's, you know, I left a little hole in the ground. And then it started raining for, like, 3 days, and I went back, and those holes had filled up.
Free water.
Well, we'll let Barador keep an eye out on that planet. He's got to let us know.
If I start to drown, you will know.
Yeah, we have to. That's...
I'll laugh.
We all will laugh. Does anybody else have anything to add before we close out this episode? The answer is no. So with that, I'm off to play Starbound. See y'all later.
Whoosh.
And away we go.
Time to go transport. See y'all.
Bye, ladies. And kitties. And internet peoples.
You can follow us on Fun Times Gaming.
Oh yeah, we forgot about that.
Shut up. God. You can follow us at Fun Times Gaming on Twitter at Fun Times Gaming. You can follow us at Facebook at Fun Times Gaming. You can follow me, Narmercel, and Barador on Steam at FTG Narmercel, FTG Barador, and FTG Random Jack. You can email us. Please email us. Come on. We love the emails.
So ronery.
funtimesgaming@gmail.com. Until next time, have a good one.